Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And today we're taking a look at two great growth stocks to consider buying as we head into March. But before we get into everything, remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. And make sure to check out our Zacks.com/promo page for a look into summer services, portfolios, and more. So before we jump into these two great growth stocks to consider buying for March, I just want to do a quick overview of the market just to give more context of what's going on with these two stocks. So last Thursday seemed poised to be a really brutal day for the market. It was trending heavily in the wrong direction with S&P 500 futures down big Wednesday night. Stocks opened over 2% lower, and Wall Street was really seemingly worried and heavy selling on the back of continued Russian aggression in Ukraine. In fact, last Thursday, NASDAQ was down over 3% at one point, well into bear market territory overall, down 20% from its highs, only to mount a historic rally and finish the day 3.3% higher. We then saw stocks surge again on Friday on reports that Moscow was prepared to hold talks with the Ukrainian leadership. That said, the conflict continues and it's still ongoing. The market was somewhat more mixed Monday morning with things going up and down, with the NASDAQ up at one point, about 0.6%, but then it's back down the last time I looked. So things have been a little more mixed, but not crazy selling or crazy buying in either direction so far Monday morning. Overall, the geopolitical situation really remains in flux, and attempting to forecast what will happen next is extremely difficult. In the last week, however, it does highlight, though, why some investors might want to stay exposed to the market even during the turmoil, just because when it looked like things were going to go crazy, it bounced back up. So it's really hard to call a bottom on anything. And if you can handle the swings and you're a long-term investor, now might be a solid time, even though it seems chaotic and crazy to consider buying stocks, even with these ratcheted up geopolitical tensions. And then the prospect for higher interest rates is right around the corner. Mid-March is the next Fed meeting. That said, there's been a fair amount of these worries already priced into the market, with the NASDAQ down around 15% off those records already, and the S&P 500 down around 9%. So once again, taking into account all of the legitimate concerns and acknowledging the uncertainty that lies ahead, investors with longer-term horizons might want to consider buying stocks now and holding them for the long haul. And even with the rising prices and all of the negative factors we just talked about tugging at the market, the outlook for S&P 500 earnings, revenue, and margins are really strong for both 2022 and 2023. So with that in mind, we're going to take a look at two strong growth stocks to consider buying at the moment. And the first stock we're going to look at is MasterCard, which trades on the ticker MA. So MasterCard, obviously, is a global payments powerhouse. It operates a consumer and business-centric credit cards segment, as well as an elaborate back-end processing network. And the company in recent years has bolstered its fintech offerings, and MA is really poised to make a splash into the cryptocurrency world. The company is currently working to integrate and make it easier for crypto players to connect to its network. Its efforts in the cryptocurrency space include signing up a number of new crypto wallet providers and exchanges. And then in October, the company acquired cybersecurity and fraud monitoring company CipherTrace for its expertise, technologies, and insights into more than 900 cryptocurrencies. So it's done a couple deals recently. So this also includes a deal with Bakkt, B-A-K-K-T, at the end of October to help enable consumers to buy, sell, and hold cryptocurrencies, and then various other things in terms of crypto. So the basic gist is they're doing a lot of stuff with crypto along with their various other fintech businesses. On top of that, the company is entering the red hot buy now, pay later space, which is receiving lots of attention. It's really popular with younger people. It's essentially allowing people to do installment payments for really purchasing anything you can imagine online. And this is called their MasterCard installment offering. The company's also said it's set to stand out in this growing market because it enables banks, lenders, fintechs, and wallets to seamlessly bring buy now, pay later solutions to consumers and merchants at scale. So they're hoping to be able to grow within this big business going forward pretty quickly. The move could be pivotal, as I just mentioned, because of its really popular with younger generations. The company also in December announced its plans to acquire Dynamic Yield from McDonald's. Yes, McDonald's, the burger chain. So Dynamic Yield delivers what it calls individualized product recommendations, offers, and content based on a range of factors, including past purchases, page views, time of day, current store traffic, and trending products. The burger chain originally bought that company to help improve its sales at drive-thrus and its digital kiosks. So this is part of a broader range of MasterCard doing some acquisitions recently in crypto and other spaces to improve its fintech vision going forward. So MA also topped her Q4 estimates at the end of January amid solid domestic spending and a return to pre-pandemic levels for that cross-border unit, which is its credit card spending on travel, which is great to see both for the company and sort of the return to more economic normalcy. The company also in November announced that it raised its dividend by 11%, and investors should be pleased to know that its board authorized an additional $8 billion share repurchase program at the same time. So this was back in late November. MasterCard revenue did take a hit overall if we look back in 2020 as people cut back on spending, especially on travel. But as we just noticed, that bounced back in a big way. So revenue was down 9% in 2020, but it bounced back in a big way this past year. So the year just reported at the end of January, with revenue up 23% to outpace its pre-pandemic total by $2 billion. So a great sign there. Meanwhile, its adjusted 2021 earnings climbed 31%. And if we look ahead, Zacks estimates are calling for it to jump in terms of sales another 19% higher in 2022 to reach about $22.5 billion, and then another 17% higher in 2023. So this would come on top of 23% growth last year. And really just shows how strong of a business MasterCard's operating. When it did 13% growth in 2019, 20% in 2018, with really the pandemic just being the one setback. So continued double-digit sales growth, 19% this year, another 17% in 2023, on top of doing 23% growth last year. And then meanwhile, in terms of its adjusted earnings, it's supposed to climb another 3% this year, and then 24% next year. So continued bottom line growth as well. And it's consistently topped our bottom line estimates, including a 10% average beat in the trailing 12 periods. So outside of its earnings and revenue outlook, its price movement has been sort of along the lines of the market in terms of growth names. It's been beaten up over the last year. The stock's moved roughly sideways in the last 12 months, which actually crushes its industry's decline of 28%. Still, it's up 60% in the last 3 years versus industry's 2% decline. And this matches the S&P 500 during this stretch. And then if we look back over the last 5 years, the company has seen its stock price soar 225% versus the benchmark's 92% climb. So it's up 225% over the last 5 years, even though it's moved sideways in the past 12 months. And at it's currently trading at around $363 per share, which is about 10% below its records and nearly 20% below its current Zacks consensus price target of around $430 per share. So plenty of upside in terms of its price. And its dividend yield is really far from a standout at the moment at about 0.5%, but it does provide some solid income, especially when we consider that it's still an impressive growth company on the top and bottom line. Going to do another 20% nearly growth this year, and its stock price has climbed 225% over the last 5 years versus the S&P 500's 92%. So getting any income is a solid bonus, you could say, for MasterCard. So MasterCard currently lands a Zacks ranked number 3 hold at the moment, and 16 of the 23 brokerage recommendations that we have are strong buys, with 2 more buys and then nothing below a hold. The recent downturn has also readjusted its valuation in a big way, with it trading about 25% below its year-long highs at around 34.5 times forward 12-month earnings. And this is actually a 8% discount to its median as well. This also represents really solid value compared to where it was trading before the initial COVID sell-off. And pretty much not that far off of its 5-year median. Its 5-year median is around 31.5, and it's trading at around 34.5 at the moment, despite it being up 225% over the last 5 years. So within a nice solid range of valuation, especially when you consider its performance. So All in all, investors with a longer-term outlook might want to consider MasterCard for its ability to continue to benefit from its core business and then also continue to expand within cryptocurrency and the broader fintech world and just all digital financial payments for the future as cash becomes less and less relevant. So MasterCard's certainly a nice stable play for that when you look at its growth and what it's done in the last 5 years in terms of its price movement and its valuation. So MasterCard's certainly worth considering for the long haul at the moment. And the last stock we're going to look at today out of these two is CrowdStrike, which trades under the ticker CRWD. CrowdStrike is a cloud-focused cybersecurity firm that utilizes machine learning and AI to protect endpoints in the cloud and cloud workloads. This is crucial in a cloud age full of rapidly expanding endpoints, which include laptops, desktops, smartphones, IoT devices, and more. The company has expanded in the last year through acquisitions, and it aims to bolster its offerings in a world where hacking and cybersecurity breaches cost trillions of dollars annually on a global scale. And this is going to continue to be a massive problem going forward. Cybersecurity threats are not going away anytime soon. CrowdStrike went public back in 2019, so just a few years ago, and its revenue soared 93% during that first full year, which was FY20. And then it climbed another 82% in its fiscal 2021. So most recently, the company beat our Q3 FY2022 estimates in early December, and executives raised their full-year guidance at the time. And it's worth pointing out that it has not yet reported its fourth quarter FY2022 results. Those are due out on March 9th. So some investors might want to wait until after it reports to see how Wall Street reacts. But overall, the most recent quarter, so Q3, the data we have showed some strong growth. So its new subscription customers jumped 75% last quarter to roughly 15,000. It was around 14,690, with those that pay for four or more modules up 68%. So continued subscription growth is great. Adding more customers is key to all businesses, especially these subscription-based businesses. So Zacks consensus estimate call for its revenue to climb 64% this year to around $1.4 billion and then climb another 40% higher next year to about $2 billion. And these estimates could improve as analysts update their guidance for next year, obviously, because it's set to report in about a week. And investors might not love the fact that it's projected to see its revenue slowed down in terms of percentage growth, but CrowdStrike's top line expansion is still really impressive, with it expected to pull in over $500 million more in annual sales next year, which is actually more than it did in all of FY20. So really impressive growth. And as companies get bigger and bigger, those percentage year over year percentages are just harder to have look eye-popping, like those 75% or 80% figures that you can do early on. Meanwhile, CrowdStrike's adjusted earnings are projected to skyrocket 115% this year to 58 cents per share, and then another 60% next year. So some solid bottom line growth as well. The company's also consistently topped our earnings per share estimates, including a 70% beat in its last reported quarter, Q3. And overall, the company lands a Zacks rank number 3 hold at the moment, alongside A grades for growth and momentum in our Scalasource system. Plus, 18 of the 22 brokerage recommendations that Zacks has for CrowdStrike are strong buys, with two more buys and only one below a hold. So in terms of its price performance, the stock is down about 13% in the last year. This compares to its broader industry big decline, down around 50% over that stretch. So CrowdStrike looks better compared to that. And then if we look, since it went public, CrowdStrike is up 240% over the last essentially 3 years compared to its industry's 13% decline. And the last time I checked, Monday, the stock was up 7% to around $195 per share, which is still about 35% below its November records and about 45% beneath its current Zacks consensus price target, which gives it plenty of upside for investors, both in the near term and certainly in the long term. Its valuation is still very high for many. So if you're not looking for a growth name, I certainly wouldn't consider CrowdStrike. It's trading at 20 times forward 12-month sales at the moment, which is way above its industry and its broader Zacks sectors average. But still, that's taking everything into account that it is a really firmly growth-focused company. It's down well from its highs. It's down 65% from its highs, which it got up to as high as 57.9 times forward 12-month sales in the last year or so. So at 20.1, 65% discount to those highs. And we should note that cybersecurity is certainly never going out of style, and it's certainly not going out of style anytime soon. So at CrowdStrike's current levels, and it's down so much with all the growth selling, longer-term investors might want to consider scooping it up at the moment as we head into March. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.